Hello and welcome to the Bevo Life Show. I'm your host, Josh Boulding, and I'm joined today by not one, but two special guests, fresh out the Bevo factory, here on a sunny Saturday afternoon somewhere in Somerset. And we're excited to be joining you in your eardrums today because we've been sharing many conversations over the past few days, a lot, as usual, relating to health, physical, mental, and spiritual. And we really want to use this platform. We sat down just now and we said, what is going to be the most valuable thing we can talk about on the mic? Because we talk about a lot of not so valuable stuff when the mic is off. And we figured that one thing that is really never going to go away, and in fact in this time where we're in right now, is our health. And you know, when the world seems out of our control, the one thing we can do is focus within, and that is improving our physical health, our mental health, our spiritual health, and everything in between. So we're going to run through a few tips, tricks, tactics that we're using in these weird and wonderful times that we're living through, and just going to go through some practices that work and maybe some practices that haven't worked for us as well. So I should start by introducing my lovely assistants here today. On my right, a man that needs no introduction, the one that only Filip Zetchevic, previous guest, returning guest, not once but twice on the podcast.
Twice, I think so. Maybe even three times. Maybe, I think we've done one in Austria and one... No, twice. It's my second time on the podcast, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Better known as Fitzy. Most known probably for your Instagram recipes, everything you do on the Vivo Plant-Based University. I mean, talk me through a little bit about what you do at Vivo, because we're coming up to your year anniversary now, right?
Yeah, so it's officially my year anniversary, middle of October. Prior to this year, I was with Vivo Life, just, you know, creating content on a freelance basis. And now, somewhat head of the Plant-Based University, I take a lot of creative and lead direction in terms of that. Still very involved with the recipe development, all the lovely ebooks that get sent to your email. I take creative direction for those and some other projects on the side that are very exciting and that I would love to share with you, but I can't unfortunately yet. And so in that case, we'll be sharing very, very soon.
Soon come. And on my left, a brand new guest to the podcast. Someone who has not been in the Vivo world for that long, really, but it feels like you've been here forever. You will most likely know Elliot from our blog, from emails we send out, from a lot of the amazing quality content which has stepped up and up and up over the past few months. It's the man sitting to my left that we have to thank for that. So Elliot, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Just a bit insulted I've not been asked sooner, but that's all good. Just kidding. It's good to be here.
Wicked, wicked. So let's run through a little practice then, and if you're listening, please do this with me. I'd like you to, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate the following. Honestly, with yourself, and this is from a place of no judgment, this is just, you know, if you were to be honest and to rate the following factors, how would you rate your physical health, your mental health, and your spiritual health? Now, they are three very separate things, but they're also interlinked. A healthy body leads to a healthy mind, a healthy mind leads to a gateway to a healthy spirit, and these things all connect. But it's very easy, especially in a world where information is everywhere, to focus too much on one and not on the other. So, if we're to rank our own physical health, how do you feel right now?
I feel, I'd say somewhere in between a 7 and an 8 physical health. I feel happy with the way I feel in my body. Yeah, I feel like it's been hard to prioritize physical health in the last 6 months with everything going on worldwide. You know, spending a lot of time indoors, not being able to go to the gym and do all the things that make me thrive and make my physical health thrive on a daily basis that I used to prior to COVID and all of these things kicking in. But I'd say shifting out of that now in the last couple of weeks and being able to, you know, venture out, travel more, go on more hikes, go to the gym daily, I feel very happy and content with where I'm at. So I'd say around a strong 7.8.
And that's after a Domino's vegan pizza.
That is actually, yeah. Almost two. Saying something. Yeah, we did just sit down.
That and drops a couple of points, I think. Yeah.
7.5.
And what is it that has, what are the habits that you feel make the biggest difference that pull you from, I don't know, a 5 and a 6 up to a 7 and an 8?
I feel that being able to do the things that make your physical health tick on a daily basis without having any of those restrictions that we all had in place, you know, by our governments, depending on where you are in countries, you know. For example, that could be taking a little walk and listening to a podcast in the park, or climbing a tree, or going to the gym, or skateboarding. Me and my girlfriend are currently recently, she's picked up roller skating, and I got on the skateboard the first time in a couple of years. I used to be very, very into it as a teenager, and just being able to do that freely in an open space and not having all those restrictions felt nice, and it was a good way of getting some movement in, and that sort of really made me progress from, you know, just like a mid 5 or 6 to one of those higher ones. But for what skateboarding is to me might be very different to you. It might be a bike ride, it might be, you know, going climbing in the local climbing center, whatever that is. But I feel like it is being able to do the things that you do freely without any restrictions.
I think skateboarding would send my physical health from a 9 to like a 5.
Yeah.
It's a broken arm waiting to happen. Yeah.
Maybe not for the average person, but I was a bit rusty. But it was fun. It was a nice way of exercising.
And go through, let's take it back a little further then, because I'm sure if I'd have asked you a few years ago, you would not have told me a 7 or an 8 on the physical health spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that was kind of like the catalyst for you and allowed you to kind of embark on a path of ultimately, which has led you here, which is like prioritizing physical health? Was there a turning point there, or was it, you know, a gradual shift that you made?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say throughout my late teenage years, mid to late teenage years, you know, I was very into gaming, and, you know, I could honestly spend like 8 hours of my day just sitting on a computer, and it was, don't get me wrong, I had some of my best times in there, but it was a little bit too much, and I should have prioritized my physical health and well-being a lot more than I did. But I feel like I got to a stage where I would be in a game leveling up this character, making him better, but in turn not really leveling up me and making me better, and shifting that focus into like, all right, life is somewhat of a game to me. I can get out there and do all of these things to level up myself. So how about I start shifting my focus into the real world and leveling myself up instead of leveling up my, you know, level 80 hunter on World of Warcraft or whatever it was.
Preach.
I feel like, Elliot, you probably relate to that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that what you said there about leveling up is something that is really helpful, though. Like, to view yourself like that, because it adds an element of fun to it, an element of progression. But yeah, definitely, World of Warcraft represent back in the day.
Yeah, but I feel like that was the initial point that sort of set me on a path. And once I was on that path, it was like you said, the three pillars, I guess, you know, physical health, like mental health and spirituality. And what can I do every single day, even if it is just 1/2 hour or 1 hour, to just, you know, baby steps and get to where I'd want to be. And that could be, you know, read 20 pages of a book every night, you know, could be going for a walk, could be starting a gym or starting a new form of exercise, and just keeping that in the back of my mind that I am leveling up this character, and that is me in this real world. I feel like that is what set me on this path. And, you know, once you sort of have that mission, I guess, then you sort of get interested in, you know, you start eating better, and once you start eating better, you sort of feel better, and then you have more energy to move more, and then once you move more, you start thinking, alright, I feel really good with how I'm eating and how I'm moving. How can I tend to myself spiritually? What can I do in my mindset more? And I feel like once you start that path and you get all those baby steps out of the way, you're just progressing into, and whatever that means for you, you know, what initially ignited my journey might be different to you, but I'd say once you have that sort of mission and you keep that in the back of your mind, that's what sort of gets you there.
E-money?
Yeah, just first, I like what you said there, like baby steps. I think that's a really key word. Like, you know, we sometimes try and do too much.
Yeah.
Which I guess when I probably rate my physical right now, maybe probably 5, 6, 6.5 if I'm feeling good post dominoes, lower five, but
post gym, post dominoes.
That's it. Bit of a counterbalancing, but yeah, I think like you said there, it's all about baby steps. It's all about, I mean, you're only human, so I think that's the way I'm feeling about it. I don't see the point in getting down about, you know, maybe not working out at home consistently as you did at the gym, not doing your yoga, because I think we all know what we should do. I think that's a word that is, we need to be careful with. So when you look at meditating, you might hear, right, meditate 30 minutes a day, take a cold shower, eat this, eat every 3 hours, drink this water, and it feels like a chore. So I think the key is to get to the point where you enjoy it. So like when we talk about meditation now, I don't do it because I feel like I have to. I'll do it because I like it. Same way the gym. If you always go to the gym and you hate it, you're never going to stick to it. Okay, who you are, you're never going to stick to it. So having those baby steps and incorporating those little habits, which is really what I'm trying to relearn as we kind of move out of, you know, lockdown for now, get back to a bit of normality. But yeah, just kind of having a bit of understanding that it's been a funny year. It's been a strange one. So.
Yeah.
You know, cut yourself a little bit slack.
Yeah, I think it's important for the average person to understand, and it is almost difficult to see, you know, some people that you look up to online or wherever it is in the real world, that, you know, meditate for half an hour every day, take a cold shower, eat this, eat that, drink this and that, and it's just like, it's hard to relate to. But what, you know, for example, you, Josh, you love to go sit in the morning for what it is, 20 minutes, half hour, and just be there silent, sit still and meditate, and you know, that really works for you. Whereas for someone else, that meditation might literally come through just a normal, nice, slow-paced walk in the park.
Yeah.
No phone, no music. That in some way that might come to you, Elliot, through jiu-jitsu. And that was quite a surprise hearing that, but it's not the first time I've heard that. I saw a quote of someone posted on Instagram the other day, like Bruce Lee's form of meditation was a jog in the morning. And it's like, what meditation is that end goal, but you don't have to sit still in order to get the benefits of what meditation gives you. For you, that might be different than it is for Bob, Sam or Mark. And it's important for people to realize that you got to do what works for you. If you're not enjoying lifting weights in the gym, go climb a tree, go play tennis, go, you know, like whatever it is. If it's not fun and enjoyable, I don't think it will be sustainable long term.
The key is incorporating enough of a practice. I think the most discipline you need is just to incorporate enough of a practice to actually see the results and to feel it. Because it may be, let's use the meditation as an example. It may be, you may be butting your head being like, I can't meditate, I can't do this thing. And it's actually, really all you want to do is just dedicate like 2 minutes to whatever practice it is to you, whether that is going out for a walk or whether that's sitting still. Enough to feel the benefits, because then when you get to that point, you'll be like, well, actually, this is no longer a chore because I actually feel the benefits, and then I want to take these forward and I want to move down that route further. It's the same with healthy eating. You know, if you, the hardest part about eating healthy is getting that first healthy meal in you. As soon as you do, you'll be like, well, healthy food tastes good, and actually I'm feeling so much better already. And then it just really starts to snowball. And that's, so I don't actually think there is a huge amount of discipline that comes with mental, physical or spiritual health. I think a lot of people seem to think that there is, but I think as long as you can get the minimum effective dose of those habits in, then the thing starts to generate momentum on its own. Before you know it, it's not you doing the work. It's the whole process of, you know, leveling up, as you say, unfolding on its own path.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you couldn't have said that anywhere. But it is also, I guess, yeah, in a way, discipline does come into it, and you should... Maybe some things, you know, you might not enjoy something right at the start. You might not enjoy eating spinach right at the start of your healthy eating journey. But to get that spinach in you, you don't literally have to go to the bag of spinach and put it in your mouth. You can hide it in a smoothie. Yep. Hide it in a smoothie with a banana, a handful of berries and some dates, and you won't even be able to taste the spinach. But you're still getting in the spinach in, as say someone who likes eating spinach straight out of the bag. So I feel like there's the end goal that we're all heading towards, but there's so many different ways and avenues of going towards that end goal. And you know, what works for you might not work for me, what works for him might not work for her. And that end goal is the same, but it's just all of these different avenues that we can take. And that's, I think you have to actively explore that to get there. You can't just sit on your sofa all day and wait and hope something's going to come. You actively have to go out there and experiment with these things. And if you haven't tried tennis before, play it. If you don't like it, cool, go for a swim, see if that ticks your box. If not, go roller skate, that might tick your box. I feel like there's a lot of different ways to get to that final destination.
Yeah, I feel like that's the other side of it, is that you're not always going to want to do things. So it's not not a case of, you know, try eating healthy, or I didn't like it, that's fine, I'll just go have some ice cream.
It's about,
you know, making the intention of, right, this is really important to me and my values, so I'm going to start eating healthy. And, you know, I might not like it every time. And I can cheat. I can have, you know, 80% healthy food, 20% junk. But, you know, there's that discipline in that, like, basically decide at the start what you want. So obviously you want to get good at skiing or whatever, then accept that, you know, you're going to have to practice, and sometimes you're not going to want to practice. So it's finding that middle way of, you know, discipline and not trying so hard,
and knowing why you want it as well. So again, like you said there, like coming back to, okay, like what it is you're doing and also why you're doing it. You know, you want to get healthy, but like, why? No one really wants to get healthy, but people want to be able to have the energy to play with their kids after a long day of work, or people want to be able to feel like they're strong enough so that they could run a mile and I don't know, defend themselves if they needed to, whatever whatever that why is for you. It's coming back to that. You look at like a plant-based diet, there's a million whys that you can go into it, but you have to connect with one, because otherwise you'll be like that person who, you know, tried a plant-based diet because it looked trendy, and then as soon as you see something else, you're like, okay, cool, I'm going to jump on that bandwagon. But if it was, okay, I'm doing this for my health because I want to feel good, I want to have energy, I want to be able to be proud of what I look like in the mirror, or I want to make a positive difference to the environment, or I want to help protect animal lives, like whatever that is. And that goes for everything, you know. That can go, again, for your spiritual practice. Why do you want that? Do you want a deeper understanding of yourself? Do you want deeper relationships with the people you meet? Do you want to be calmer, you know, more compassionate? All of these things come into it. So it's really identifying before we go out on any practice, like, why are you here and why are you investing your time in that? Because if you don't know that, then it's, you know, going to fall by the wayside, as it has for me many a time, you know. Practices that I thought looked interesting and I want to try it, I can quickly lose interest because it's not giving me the thing that I want from it.
Yeah,
and like the same token, like looking at what you're currently doing and sometimes asking why am I doing this. I remember being a kid, I remember playing things like football, and I'd go to the practice and I'd come home and I'd have a big can of coke and just wasn't in it, wasn't what I do it.
Yeah,
I remember sitting there thinking, why am I doing this? I don't want to play football. I don't care. You know, this isn't serving me. So it's asking, obviously, like, there's a middle way. You don't want to look at, maybe you watch a bit of Netflix and say, this isn't serving me underneath it. And then you don't have to be.
Yeah, of course.
There's a balance, but, you know, maybe are you doing things, are you seeing people that don't energize you, that bring you down? Just things like that why, that if you don't have a why, you're never going to get there.
And that leads us nicely into mental health, I think, because I think probably out of the three, that's the one that has been the biggest challenge in 2020, I think it's fair to say. People going to places mentally that they didn't think they had to. Let's be honest, like we've had it pretty good up till now. You know, in our lifetimes, there has not really been that much globally for us to worry about. Now this is easy for me to say as you know, a white man living in the UK, of course, but the position that we are in, the three of us, I think it's fair to say that, you know, on a global level, what we're facing now is very different to what we have faced, and it has brought new challenges for everyone. So I can kick this off. Like, I actually feel, as a result of what we've been through, I'm extremely fortunate and grateful to be able to say this, but I feel like my mental health is better than ever. And that is because I've been able to look at things that maybe, like you said, weren't serving me, or things that were bringing me down. And because I had nowhere to run from them, no distractions, then I got to look these things in the eye and be like, okay, cool, or I can let you go, or I can let you consume me. And I was able to do that work and let it go. The the question is, like, whenever we're presented with what people view as a crisis, we can also view it as an opportunity. And I think now, in the time we're in, where we have so much more time for ourselves, this can be a real opportunity for us to work through things that, you know, maybe we haven't given ourselves permission to work through in the past. Again, this is very easy to say, it's very hard to practice.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you guys want to talk about any practices that you do which help with your mental well-being.
Well, you probably know in Viva Life we have monthly one-to-one meetings with our mentors, and every month when we do have the sort of monthly review, there's a section where we cover what do you feel like you could have done better this month, or what sort of values are you focusing on. And one that's come up for me quite often throughout the last 3 to 6 months has been prioritizing my time outside of work to then allow me to be a better me and show up better for life, for work, for everything outside of that as well. And a big one for me was separating time away from a screen, you know, not being able to go outside and just being indoors all day in a small space, sharing it with everyone else. It's almost like the only thing I can resort to is a screen. We work on a screen, and then as soon as I have a break from work, I'd get my phone out, check Instagram, I'd reply to comments, I'd, you know, plan another post, come back to work. After work was done for the day, and then again, maybe, you know, we'd go for a walk or something, but I'd still feel like I was in front of a screen a lot. And I personally found it hard to put the time away from the digital world and just be, in a way. And I felt like that's something that I personally struggled with a bit throughout the whole lockdown period and throughout the last 3 to 6 months. But progressing and coming out of that, I've really made a conscious effort to, you know, once work is done, shut the laptop, and then me and my girlfriend would go for a walk or something. We wouldn't even check our phones. Sometimes we won't even bring them. We go skate or whatever it is that we're doing, and just really consciously making that effort to prioritize my time away from a screen. And that made me feel better mentally, because when I wasn't doing all of those things, it just made me feel a bit, I don't know, not like myself. And it was almost like I'd come towards the end of the day, I'd have a headache, my eyes would be hurting, and I'd be like, why is my head hurting? It's like, I've just been staring at a screen for 8 hours, how is it not gonna hurt? So that's something that I struggled with, and I feel like that affected me. Not majorly, it was very, very slightly, but that's something that, you know, I somewhat struggled with, and I feel like I'm doing well at now.
Yeah, I think for me, like, funny, because started lockdown, despite, you know, like, obviously, we've all had, a lot of people have had, you know, financial things and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Despite that, it was nice, because it was almost like a forced break.
Yeah.
To do nothing. And for me, you know, I'm probably not the most extroverted person, so, you know, I'm not going to parties, I'm not, like, I like to travel, you know, it gives me a bit of anxiety, and it's, you know, it's a challenge to do, so it was like, oh, great, I don't need to do that, so I need to stay indoor. I'm thinking, okay, no problem, play some games or something. But with that, it's been good, because kind of like you were saying earlier, you have to deal with things. And then as we've sort of slowly left that and we've got more freedom, it's understanding that you can't really live like that. You know, you have to challenge yourself consciously to do things that are maybe a little bit uncomfortable. So, yeah, for me, you know, it's been a good time, because I think you find that, you know, the tough times do eventually turn out to be what kind of molds you. But, yeah, that's obviously not to belittle the shit time that many people have had, obviously, just across the world. But
yeah, I think it's important for, well, us guys, you know, as free privileged white men in the UK to realise
massively
that, yeah, our struggles nowhere near some of the other struggles that other people have, especially in this time of the world. But what you just said sort of relates to what we were talking about with the physical side of things. And when it comes to the mental stuff, you might not, you know, for example, you mentioned that you weren't comfortable, you know, sometimes travelling might make you a little bit slightly anxious, but it's easy to sit in your room all day and not expose yourself. But as soon as you start exposing yourself, which is hard, you might not enjoy it, but the more you do it, the more you feel comfortable with it, and the more you will enjoy it.
Mm.
And then you could sort of apply that to the physical side of things. You know, you might not like working out or stretching or doing yoga every single day or once a week, but whatever that is for you. But once you expose yourself to it and you know it's going to make you feel better, you do somewhat start to develop more of a comfort around that. And I guess that's something that you can apply both in your physical health, your mental health, and your spiritual health.
Yeah, it's definitely like measured and appropriate challenges. So, you know, if you hate working out, then the worst thing you'd do is sign up for a 6-week boot camp, like straight away.
Yeah.
And the same way, if you don't like traveling, you're not going to go 6 weeks trekking through
Asia or whatever.
Exactly.
It is, yeah.
So it's about, you know, it's a fine line, and you obviously need to be careful in knowing yourself and understanding like where I'm at now, where I want to be, and then there's the path in between. So saying like, you know, if you don't like working out, say, I'm going to do one workout a week.
Baby steps.
Exactly. I'm going to do, you know,
yeah,
bit of yoga. I'm going to meditate three times a week. That's what I do. I don't really like meditating every day. I don't feel it every day. It doesn't help me every day. So I think before, you know, I might have had that pressure to do it, and it became a chore, so I wouldn't enjoy it because I was too busy sitting there thinking, oh, I need to meditate. And I'd sit down and tap my foot. But when I sit, when I say to myself, right, here's like, here's the 7 days, 4 of these days I'm going to meditate, and I always do it
because
I enjoy it, and it's like an appropriate level of challenge for me. But yeah, I think for you know, the mental health thing, it's all about the perspective you take. So I think when we say things like, you know, people have had it worse or things could be worse, that's not to belittle everyone's.
Of course, yeah.
Obviously, we're all individuals, and our challenges are as difficult for us, if you know what I mean. So,
well, challenges are always subjective, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because it's very easy to compare my situation to, you know, an orphan in Africa, for example. It's easy to compare my situation to a billionaire who's on his yacht. You know, these are extremes, but you know, suffering is subjective, and just because one person is going through something harder, that does not mean make your struggle less valid, and also it does not mean that you feel it less, because the human capacity for emotion can stretch to a certain point, and suffering becomes suffering, you know, no matter who you are, you know, it affects everybody. One thing I want to touch on as well, and I think this was the biggest struggle of mine during the time, and it's, I think, the struggle that is continuing for a lot of people, is the lack of social connection. And I think, as we spoke on this when we were last on the mic, you know, the difficulty, humans are social creatures, we're built to be around other humans, and when that's stripped away, you just do not get that same feeling, that same chemical release when you're speaking to someone on the screen. You know, it's amazing we have this technology, but it's just not the same. So it's finding ways that we can engineer that into our lives, no matter how, you know, challenging the world can present these scenarios. One thing that I found was actually like, okay, well, I can't see my friends that are, you know, 50, 70 miles away right now, but I can make an effort to get to know my neighbours, for example. People that I haven't spoke to in like years of living in this place, you know, now is this the chance for me to like go around and introduce myself, this kind of thing, and being able to form new relationships. And I actually, like, I've rekindled a beautiful friendship with an 8-year-old Spanish lady who lives across the world, across the road from me, and every week she would make me some sort of cake or salad, and I'd return the favor, and she'd bring me stuff from her garden and that kind of thing. And this was a person who was always there, but I never made the time to go and visit and speak to. These little moments of connection and kindness are everywhere, they can be found. It's probably about thinking a little bit more creatively outside your usual circle of being able to do that. But I would say, like, however possible, and even when it feels like, you know, you don't want to do so, I think it's one of the most important things that we can do is to prioritize face-to-face time with people. And even if rules dictate that has to be from a distance, you know, just being able to be with people in the 3D is so special, so important. I think that this is, certainly for me, it's a must for my mental health.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And you'll sort of eliminate all the things and all the aspects of human connection and interaction that make us who we are, but like touch and even just you know, like a simple message on WhatsApp is never the same as you saying it, the tone of your voice, the way you say it, how you sound, all of that sort of eliminated when we don't have that 3D interaction. And that is very, very important to have.
And the friends you can't see, how can you make your presence felt nonetheless? Because we've all learned from this time how important relationships are. Certainly for me, it's been I think I always intellectually knew that relationships are the most important thing. I think sometimes I don't think I embodied that because I would prioritize other things above it. And like now for me, without question, it is like the number one. So if that's the case for you, if you say that, then you have to treat it in that way. So what's the one thing you can do today to make someone feel special, even if you can't see them? Is it sending a little note in the post? Is it giving them a call just to tell them you love them? What is that? And it's making that, you know, if it is your number one, it might not be, but if it is your number one, then making it your number one. Yeah. If it isn't your number one, then what is your number one for you that is gonna move you forward? What's your number one priority right now for you and for your own sanity? Because self-care is not selfish. In fact, it's far from it. When we invest in ourselves, we then can bring the best version of ourselves forward into the world that is going to make a difference to the people around us. So actually, self-care can be the most selfless thing that you can do. So please do not be afraid to do that, especially in times when we need it more than ever.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. It's about, you know, having that challenge, but cutting yourself some slack. And even just the little things that you were saying there about, you know, connecting with people. It's even like going to a Costa or a coffee shop, even behind the big plastic board, you can still say, how's it going, how's your day going?
Mm-hmm.
Just having that, those little moments of interaction, like when you have them, you always leave a little bit more energized.
Yep.
And I think that works with both.
Yep.
So yeah, just the simple acts, and you know, making that part of your day. Not even every day if you can't manage it, but yeah, just a little bit of something's better than a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
Kindness is everywhere, man. Like, that's one thing you see. If you look for it and if you embody it and you bring it out into the world, you see it reciprocated, and it is everywhere. Good people are everywhere. We get fed this narrative of people, you know, in the news doing bad things, but that's such a minority. The day-to-day interactions you have, there's always an opportunity for compassion, for kindness, for laughter, for these little moments that are what make us human. And you asking the guy at Costa who makes you your coffee every day how he's doing, how his kids are, da da da, whatever it is, that feeds into him. Then he goes out, he has that same interaction with someone else, and this goes poof, and it spreads, and that's when the revolution begins. Because kindness cannot be, unlike other viruses, kindness cannot be vaccinated or stopped or social distance or any of these things, right? It is completely contagious, and we are the carriers, right? We have the ability to spread this thing like never before.
Definitely. And I guess in the world now is probably a good time to shift into the spiritual side of things, as you know, I feel like we've covered the physical and the mental.
Yep.
And I guess spiritually, you know, how can we tend to ourselves now more than ever before in times where, you know, we have somewhat gone through slight or major struggles?
Well, I think that's the most overwhelming one for people, right? I think it can be a bit of a loaded word, spirituality.
Yeah,
it can come with a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Now, that's why I think for me, like, spirituality is what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't have to be this, you know,
stuff.
I think I wrote in a blog, you know, you might think of, you know, of a guru. Those feet out all the time. That doesn't have to be it. You know, it's really for you to explore it. It's even just a matter of closing your eyes for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just feeling your body, feeling where you're sitting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not necessarily about diving in. If you want to, feel free.
Mm-hmm.
It's different for everyone, but
it's
definitely overwhelming. But like you said, you know, taking a walk and just
just
thinking about, like, what are my values? Like, how do I want to live? As opposed to, like, what can I do? Because if you look at what can I do, that can be limited. You know, you have a lockdown, you might want to, I don't know, work out, lift weights, but you can't get access.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you limited already. But if you're looking at your values and your character and you say, right, I want to be this kind of person, or be this compassionate person, nothing can stop that. If you say, I want to be honest, nothing can stop that. So for me, that's probably where my spiritual side comes, not necessarily diving into esoteric books and stuff, although there's obviously a place for that. Maybe that's not for me, but yeah, that's probably my take on it. It's really what you want it to be.
Yeah, definitely.
What serves you, take what's useful. So there's a lot of Eastern things that I really resonate with. There's a lot of Eastern things I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So Western philosophy, Stoicism, there's all these things that you're not committed to anything. Like that's the beauty of spirituality versus something like religion, which is maybe more,
more
in a box. And obviously, if that works for you, great. But if it doesn't, just take what's useful.
It's definitely. But again, even with the whole, you should be meditating, taking this day, taking cold showers, sleeping this, doing that. It's like that's not for everybody as well. When the average person thinks of spirituality, they think of all this woo-woo stuff and all these, things aligned and universal stuff. And, that definitely has a place, but it might not be for everyone. And I really resonate with what you said, as in, if you embody honesty, nothing can stop you. And for me, when I look at it, it's sort of, setting intentions, I guess, and find not just reacting to the world, but almost, waking up in the morning, I'm going to be honest today, like you said, for example, and carrying that with you throughout the day rather than reacting to all these different, things that come at you. And, someone might get into a bit of road rage and in traffic, but with the right intention set, that's not going to stop you. It's not going to, throw you off. If you carry and embody that honesty or kindness or compassion or loyalty, whatever that is to you in that moment, and have that in the back of your mind and that intention, nothing's going to stop you from doing that. And I feel like you say, even just sitting still for 5 minutes and sort of trying to understand yourself a bit better, or setting intentions, that's, to me, that's what spirituality is, as well as much as it is with all the other, like you say, there are some Eastern philosophies that you resonate with and there's some that don't, and it's just about finding out what works for you.
And that is spirituality. Spirituality isn't everything. It doesn't have to be this esoteric concept that is really feels so far removed from your own reality. Spirituality is here and now. It's your reality right here and now. It's in every, there's opportunity for spirituality in every conversation, in every meal you eat, in every time you're out in nature, in everything you do. Every time you lie in bed at night, that's an opportunity for spirituality, just to surrender to the human experience and just feel beyond yourself, and that is a real joy and pleasure to have, and it's something that is available to all of us at any time. And the password, though, is allowing yourself to fully be in that moment and allowing yourself to fully surrender to it. And when you do, nothing can really touch you. The external factors can't break in, because you are here and now, and right here and now, everything's okay. Whatever's going on in the world right now, it really doesn't matter, because you're here, you're now, and that is really all you have. So that's how I look at spirituality. I've been the guy that's read the books and done the retreats and all these things, and a lot of that, there's so much truth in all of that, but you have to find your own definition, and you have to experience it experientially rather than just knowing it intellectually. And that's where spirituality comes in. So if you feel you haven't touched the spiritual dimension, there's plenty of practices you can do. You could start right now when you finish this podcast, and that is take your earphones out, put your phone away, go outside and just be there. Feel the sun on your skin, take your shoes off, feel the earth beneath your feet, and really feel there and just observe what's around you. Feel your mind start to quiet. Watch your thoughts. Don't try and control them. Don't try and force them to be anything they're not. Don't judge them when they come up. And just feel, if it's raining, feel the rain. If it's sunny, feel the sun. Feel the wind in your hair, and just give yourself two minutes of that, and that could be the catalyst. You can have that anywhere. You can have that when you're eating your dinner. You can have that, we said it earlier, when you're watching Netflix. Netflix can be spiritual if you're already there. That can be whatever it looks like to you. It doesn't have to be meditation with incense burning, with Osho chanting in the background. None of this has to be spirituality if that's not what spirituality is to you.
Definitely. And I when I think of spirituality, I guess it's sort of understanding yourself and the surroundings. I guess understanding yourself and the world around you a little bit better and a little bit deeper. That's what I think. And like you say, it doesn't have to be, burning Palo Santo and incense. It could just be sitting outside for 5 minutes. But what came up in my mind right now as we were having that conversation, and it was based on a convo that us three had the other day, where we open up a space to somewhat be vulnerable and to sort of just like, I love the thing I love about us and our whole entire circle, in fact, is that we can chat absolute bollocks and we can, you know, go out, we can have fun, we can dance, we can sing, we can laugh, but then we can also talk about some serious topics and not be afraid to get deep and also open up to vulnerability. And you know, you asked us what are certain weights that you carry that aren't really serving you right now and you might want to get rid of, and each one of us had something different, and I feel like having that space to could be by yourself, could be with your best mates, could be with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your loved ones, your family, your mum, dad, whatever it is, whoever it is, it could just be, you know, having that space to talk about these things and open up, be vulnerable, because you don't really get the chance to often say what things are weighing you down in life, whether that be a certain outlook that you have about someone or yourself, an attitude, limiting belief, whatever it is. I feel like naturally trying to have that space could just be sitting outside for 10 minutes where you have that as an intention. Could just be, you know, having a conversation with your best mate about it. I feel like opening up and having that space can truly be something, you know, that might progress you in terms of understanding yourself deeper and the world around you. And that, to me, is spirituality. And that's what I really, really do appreciate and love about us, that we can have that conversation, as well as we can have a conversation about God knows what it is. But yeah, I feel like that's very important to have that space to be vulnerable with yourself and also with others, if they are open to receiving it, of course.
Yeah, I think for me as well, it's like, while we can do that, I think that comes from being able to be vulnerable with yourself first as well.
So like, definitely.
You know, if you don't know what your weaknesses are, you don't know what your vulnerabilities are, I mean, that's so easy to find out that we get a bit of paper. You look at yourself in a third person, you say, right, who is this guy, who is this girl, who is this whatever, you know, who is this person?
Yeah.
And you work it out and you work from there. But yeah, just that idea that, you know, vulnerability, as soon as you identify the vulnerability, and even better if you can share it with friends, loved ones, whatever, then that's not as much of a vulnerability anymore. I don't know, you know, that's
I think so.
That's a part of your character, it's a strength, it's something to work on. So yeah, I think it's just, especially I think, you know, it's kind of masculine, there's this masculine idea of not talking about things, and you know, it doesn't mean whining about everything.
Yeah.
It's not what it's about, it's about saying, like, what am I feeling, what's weighing me down, and just putting it out there under the spotlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's not, again, like spirituality, it doesn't have to be this thing, this sort of weird thing, you know.
And I feel like a lot of people do think that, and they see, well, it's referred to it as woo woo and landscape portals and universal frequencies and vibrations and Palo Santo and incense and all of this, and it's like, definitely has a place.
Yep.
But, and to someone that might be what spirituality is, amazing. To someone, it might be completely different. Amazing. There's no right and wrong. It's about what works for you. And I just genuinely think it's having a deeper understanding into yourself, who you are, and the world around you.
Yeah, and I think like you were saying there about, you know, the rituals and stuff that people have, it doesn't have to be this organized thing. So I think for me, like, probably the most spiritual moment of my day is, you know, waking up, having a cup of coffee, putting on some slippers or something, you know, sitting in an armchair,
chilling,
just half reading about, and just like, even better, you know, if it's raining down the window, and just sort of just kind of shutting your eyes and just feeling it and going, right, I'm awake. It's nice to be here. That's a spiritual moment. That's as much of a spiritual moment
100%.
As, you know, 400-hour fast. Yeah. You know, it's not
400-hour fast.
It doesn't have to be difficult, you know. So
yeah, definitely.
It's everywhere. So what I would challenge anyone who's listening to this podcast to do would be to recognize these three pillars first of all in your life. If we're starting from scratch here, then let's get out a piece of paper, let's write Monday to Sunday, and let's make a calendar, mental, physical, and spiritual health. And let's literally write one thing that you're going to do each day for each of these three pillars, right? That could be, so today it could be making yourself one meal from scratch. It could be going for a walk without your phone, and it could be calling a loved one and catching up. And that is as simple, it's as simple as that, because giving yourself permission to invest in yourself and build those habits is what's going to lead to success over time. But we have to start somewhere, right? We have to be able to say, right, this I am a priority in my life because you are, and if you're not, then you have to be, then it's then building the habits which are gonna allow you to be that priority. And I've been in a place where I had no habits of self-care whatsoever, like nothing for my mental health, nothing for my physical health. But at some point I had to decide where I was like, okay, well, if I want to be here and I want to experience this thing we call life, then I have to invest in myself. And then therefore a habit becomes something that may be challenging at first. Soon it gets easier, soon it becomes second nature, and then it builds over time. And we can all do that. We can all start with just one thing. And if you feel like putting a handful of spinach in your smoothie is like not much, well, come back to me in a month and see what that handful of spinach has done, because I can guarantee that handful of spinach in your smoothie may now be a full-blown healthy salad which you're eating for lunch, and it may be going to bed half an hour early, it may be whatever, you know, but that we have to give ourselves permission to start somewhere.
And you know, like having your values and then working towards it, even regardless of a result or a consequence, is, you know, the key in itself. So, you know, if you say like, right, I want to be healthy, and you start doing the tiniest little things, you're still working towards that value. So, you know, that you've already won in a sense, and then you build up your habits and stuff. But I feel like for me, that's such a key point, is, you know, like you said earlier, the why. So I think that would probably be my advice, is, you know, work that out. Get a bit of paper, take a cup of coffee, cup of tea, just, you know, let
either,
it flow.
Either a magic Viva Life coffee or a magic latte or turmeric latte.
While we're on the subject of talking about places you can get this information, and you know, where you can go to level up, you know, there's no better time to big up two platforms on our website when I've got these two guys beside me. One is our blog, one is a place where you can go for really non-biased, non-outcome driven content. You know, we've literally spent the last 3 days discussing how our blog is not something that we're ever going to attempt to monetize, because that's not why we're here. We're literally in the process of giving as much value as possible, because we believe that that is a service that we can give to the world. And there's articles on there on stoicism, on meditation, on cold thermogenesis, on nutrition, on everything in between. And like, that is it's a really good starting point to find something that you can connect with, because again, you might not connect with cold showers, but you might connect with medicinal mushrooms, for example, and then you'll find something on there, and that could be a new habit for you. The second place I want you to check out is Plant-Based University, because that, I don't think I've ever talked about it on the podcast.
Oh, there you go.
It's honestly, it's like a treasure trove, and it's somewhere that is just like everyone who goes there feels like they get something so deep out of it. And I feel it's a place where we can really give value to the world. It's a place where no matter where you're at, you can get something. Fitzy, I don't know if you want to talk us
yeah,
a little bit about what we're doing.
So our aim is to, you know, have one of the most, you know, credible and trustworthy places of information, and that's full of resources and content that you can go to, surrounding things, you know, everything to do with lifestyle, plant-based health, living, sustainability, etc. And we want to build this huge hub of resources that allow you to explore these things. And again, this is nothing that we're never going to monetize.
Yeah,
this, we're never going to sell
it.
This is just free and pure value to inspire you to be a better you, whatever that means to you. And right now we have 4 amazing hubs. We've got a muscle building hub, a fat loss hub, a cooking and recipes hub, and a calisthenics hub that you can dive into. And it's sort of like an online mini course full of resources, videos, interactive content that you can just dive into and gain a wealth of information. And we're only going to build on this. We've got amazing plans for the future, some incredible exciting projects coming your way, so definitely go check that out. And it's literally as simple as going on the Viva Life website and clicking the university tab in the navigation and sign up for free, dive into it, and let us know how it goes.
Beautiful. Well, guys, thank you both for being here. Really, really enjoyed sharing this time on the mic. I'm sure it won't be the last. Well, I definitely know it won't be the last you hear of these guys. And everyone, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your attention. In a world where information is everywhere, as always, I appreciate you being here and tuning in with us. I trust that you've got something out of it, and get those habits on your fridge. Get, you know, let's do one thing every day to move ourselves forward. Baby steps, like you say, and before you know it, those baby steps become a whole long journey. Mm-hmm. So, thank you, and good morning, good evening, good afternoon.
Much love.
Speak soon.